Well, hey, everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. In this episode of our podcast, we're continuing on in our sermon series called Before You Give Up, where we're talking about lessons that we all need to learn that will help us keep going when we're ready to quit. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about a problem that we all have. Whether you're sitting in a drive-thru line at McDonald's or standing in line to check out at Target, nobody likes to wait. And the longer you have to wait to achieve a goal or to accomplish a task, the more likely it is that you're just going to give up altogether. So, if you want to be able to keep going when you're ready to quit, that means that you need to learn how to wait. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this episode's sermon. So let's get right to it. So back in 1968, the Donor Ad Agency was approached by the Tootsie Roll Company to produce a commercial for a new product that the Tootsie Roll Company was releasing. Now, this product was unlike anything the Tootsie Roll Company had ever produced before, so they were looking for a commercial unlike anything the world had ever seen before. So the Donor Ad Agency, they got to work, and they actually created a commercial that continues to air to this day, more than 50 years later. Now, this ad that was originally created is a 60-second commercial spot, but it's been shortened over the years. But in the initial commercial, it begins by a little boy walking up to a cow and asking the cow, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop? Well, the cow responds, boy, I don't know. I've never made it. I always end up biting into my Tootsie Pops. So the cow then refers the boy to go and meet with Mr. Fox, who is an animal which is way more clever than the cow. So the boy goes and he meets with the fox, and he asks the fox the same question he asked the cow. And the fox basically gives him the same answer. He says, I don't know how many licks it takes to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop because I always bite into my Tootsie Pops. But maybe you should go and talk with Mr. Turtle, because Mr. Turtle is an animal that's been around way longer than I have. So the boy goes and he asks Mr. Turtle the same question. And Mr. Turtle tells him, you'll never make it without biting. So he sends him on to talk with the wisest animal of them all, Mr. Owl. So the boy goes and he asks Mr. Owl the same question he's been asking everyone else along the way. And Mr. Owl decides to conduct a little experiment of his own. Mr. Owl unwraps the Tootsie Pop and he starts licking, counting all along the way. A one, a two, a three. And then Mr. Owl does the same thing that every other animal does. He bites into his Tootsie Pop. And the commercial finishes by having the announcer ask the same question the boys asked all throughout the commercial. How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? Then he admits, the world may never know. And why is it possible that the world may never know how many licks it takes to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? Well, I'll tell you, you don't need to go and ask a cow or a fox or a turtle or an owl to get the answer to that question, because it's actually a really simple question to answer. We may never know how many licks it takes to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop because we don't like waiting. We don't. We don't like waiting. We don't like waiting in the waiting room before we get to see our doctor or our dentist. We don't like waiting in the drive-through line so that we can pick up our lunch. We don't like waiting in the self-checkout line so that we can make our purchases at Target or at Kroger. We don't like waiting for our Amazon package that we ordered yesterday to show up on our doorstep today. We don't like waiting, period. And because we don't like waiting, there is no way that any of us are ever going to wait long enough to lick our way to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop. But what's all this talk about Tootsie Pops and waiting have to do with us, right? I mean, you didn't come to church today to get a recap of a commercial that you've probably seen hundreds of times in your life. Well, right now at Melbourne Heights, we are working our way through a series of sermons that we're calling Before You Give Up. And during the series, we're talking about lessons that we all need to learn to help us keep going when we reach those points in life where we're ready to quit. And one of the biggest reasons why we reach these points where we're ready to give up, where we're ready to quit in the first place, is because we get sick and tired of waiting for things to happen. I mean, just stop and think about it for a second. How many of you have ever been sitting in a drive-thru line that is moving so slowly that you decide, instead of ordering at that restaurant, you're going to leave the drive-thru line so you can order someplace else? I do it all the time, and horribly impatient that way. Or how many of you have ever been standing in that growing self-checkout line at Target on a Saturday afternoon, and you look down in your little handbasket, and you realize all you've got is a pack of socks and a bottle of shampoo, and you're thinking, is it really worth having to wait behind all of these people to make this little purchase? I can always come back later. Or how many of you have ever given up on a diet because you've gotten sick and tired of waiting for the number on the scale to start going down? It happens to us all. None of us like to wait, and because we don't like to wait, we give up on accomplishing certain things. And this isn't just true in trivial matters like where you're going to eat lunch from. We do this in areas of our life that are way more important as well. We put in our 2 weeks' notice at work because we're tired of waiting for that promotion that never seems to come. Or we quit contributing to our retirement accounts altogether because we're tired of waiting for the stock market to finally turn around. Or we quit doing the physical therapy that our doctor prescribed for us to do because we get tired of waiting to see the results from all the hard work that we're putting in. It happens. We get tired of waiting, and that makes us give up on accomplishing certain things. So, if you want to be able to keep going when you're ready to quit, you have to learn how to wait. If you want to be able to keep going when you reach a point where you're ready to give up, then you also have to be able to learn how to wait. And this is something that I've had to learn firsthand in my life. Over the course of the sermon series, I've talked a little bit about this, but back in 2006, I reached a point where I was ready to give up on ever becoming a minister at all. And that's in spite of the fact that I knew from the time that I was a teenager that God was calling me into the ministry. But after I graduated college, I got sick and tired of waiting for a church to call me to become their pastor. Now, I graduated college in May of 2004, but I wasn't called to pastor a church until June of 2007. And I told you all of that. That whole sentence lasted less than 10 seconds. And because that whole sentence lasted less than 10 seconds, in our brains as people, we can easily think that it means that that wait wasn't that long. It wasn't all of that bad. But what it took me 10 seconds to tell you, it took me more than 3 years of my life to live out. So I spent 3 years of my life waiting to get called to pastor a church for the first time. I spent 3 years of my life wondering if maybe I had misunderstood what it was that God was calling me to do. I spent 3 years of my life working in a job I absolutely hated, trying to keep my dream of becoming a minister alive. And after 2.5 years of waiting, I'd had enough. I reached the point where I was sick and tired of waiting, and I reached the point where I quit. I quit sending out my resume to churches that had open positions. I quit even looking to see which churches had jobs postings at all. I reached a point where I was slogging my way through seminary because I had quit caring and I had quit trying, and I was ready to quit seminary altogether before the next semester started. I had enough of waiting. So I reached that point where I was ready to quit. And because I came within a couple of weeks of actually giving up on my dream of becoming a minister and quitting seminary altogether, it makes the story that we're going to read this morning, that I want us to take a look at today, all the more powerful, at least from my perspective. Now, all throughout the series, every Sunday, we've been exploring the story of a man named Joseph. And we find Joseph's story in the book of Genesis. And we've been looking at Joseph's story every week during the sermon series because Joseph has every reason in his life to want to give up. He has every reason in his life to want to quit, but Joseph never does. Joseph never gives up, even though he spends most of his life waiting. And as we dig deeper into Joseph's story, I can show you exactly what I mean. But before we start digging deeper into Joseph's story, I want to point something out to you that you may not have realized. Joseph's entire story plays out in the book of Genesis in about 13 chapters. You can read Joseph's entire story in about 13 chapters in the book of Genesis. And that means that it would take you less than an hour to read Joseph's entire story. And because it takes you less than an hour to read Joseph's story, it becomes really easy in our brains to think that Joseph was able to overcome every challenge he faced, every obstacle he encountered in life, in less time than it takes for them to vote somebody off of Survivor each week. But even though Joseph's story plays out in a couple of chapters in the book of Genesis, it actually takes a couple of decades for it to happen in his life. So when we read passages from Joseph's story, like this one that we find in Genesis 37, where we're told, when Joseph reached his brothers, they stripped off Joseph's long robe. They took him, they threw him into a cistern, an empty cistern with no water in it. When they sat down to eat, they looked up and they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. When we read that passage, it feels like it plays out like that. It feels like it plays out in an instant. But the reality is that Joseph probably spent hours sitting down in the bottom of that cistern, sitting down in that bottom of that well, wondering if his brothers were going to leave him there to die. Or a few verses later, when we're told, when some Midianite traders passed by, they pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. When we read that passage, it feels like Joseph is immediately transported from Dothan down to Egypt. But what we don't realize is that Dothan, where Joseph's brothers were at, was 750 miles away from Egypt. And this happens in a time long before there are cars and interstates, okay? So traveling those 750 miles would have taken months. So that means that Joseph is traveling along with the slave traders who purchased him for months on end, even when Joseph finally makes it down to Egypt, where he'll be sold as a slave. It may have been weeks before Joseph actually went up on the auction block to be sold. When he was purchased by Potiphar and becomes a slave in Potiphar's household, Joseph is probably enslaved there for at least a decade as he rises through the ranks, going from being the lowest servant, the lowest slave in Potiphar's house, to becoming the head of Potiphar's entire household. And then when Joseph is thrown in prison for something he didn't do, Joseph spends years earning the trust of the warden of that prison so that Joseph reaches a point where he becomes a supervisor over the entire prison. All of this happens over the course of years. So Joseph spent years of his life waiting. Joseph spent years of his life waiting to be freed from his enslavement. Joseph spent years of his life waiting to be released from prison. And in the passage of Scripture I want us to look at today, it looks like Joseph's wait is finally going to be over. So if you've got a Bible close by, let me encourage you to go ahead and grab it and turn with me to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. And as you're finding it, I just want to remind you, I want to point this out to you so that you have no mistake about where we're at in the story. Before we pick up in Genesis chapter 40, Joseph has already spent hours waiting down in the bottom of that cistern. Joseph has already spent months traveling with his slave traders to make it down to Egypt. Joseph has already spent weeks waiting for his turn to go up on the auction block to be sold to another person. Joseph has already spent a decade or more of his life enslaved in Potiphar's household. Joseph has already spent years in prison. All of that's already happened when we reach this point in Genesis chapter 40. So let's take a look and see what happens next. We're going to start reading in verse 1, which says, "Sometime later, both the wine steward and the baker for Egypt's king offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief wine steward and the chief baker, and he put them under arrest with the commander of the royal guard in the same jail where Joseph was imprisoned. The commander of the royal guard assigned Joseph to assist them. After they'd been under arrest for some time, both of them, the wine steward and the baker for Egypt's king, who were imprisoned in jail, had dreams one night. And each man's dream had its own meaning. When Joseph met with them in the morning, he saw that they were upset. He asked the officers of Pharaoh, who were under arrest with him in his master's house, 'Why do you look so distressed today?' They answered him, 'We've both had dreams, but there's no one to interpret them.' Joseph said to them, Don't interpretations belong to God? Describe your dreams to me. The chief wine steward described his dream to Joseph, and he said, In my dream there was a vine right in front of me, and on the vine there were three branches. When it budded, its blossoms appeared, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes. I crushed them into Pharaoh's cup and put the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Joseph said to him, This is the dream's interpretation. The three branches are 3 days, and after 3 days, Pharaoh will give you an audience and return you to your position. You will put Pharaoh's cup back in his hand, just the way things were before when you were his wine steward. But please remember me when you are doing well and be loyal to me. Put in a good word for me to Pharaoh so that he sets me free from this prison. I was stolen from the land of the Hebrews. And here, too, I've done nothing to be thrown into this dungeon. So in the verses that we just read, Joseph tells Pharaoh, the king of Egypt's wine steward, that his dream means that he's going to be restored to his previous position in 3 days' time. And Joseph asks, the only thing that he asks in return for interpreting this dream is that the Pharaoh's wine steward remembers Joseph and puts a good word in with the Pharaoh when he finally gets released from prison. And lo and behold, 3 days pass, and everything that Joseph says would happen takes place. As we pick back up in the story in Genesis 40, verse 20, we're told, the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a party for all of his servants. Before all of his servants, he gave an audience to the chief wine steward and the chief baker. He returned the chief wine steward to his position, and he placed the Pharaoh's cup in his hand. Now, when the wine steward was released from prison, when I picture this story, I can't help but imagine that the first thing that Joseph does after the wine steward gets to walk through those prison gates is that Joseph goes running straight back to his cell in the prison to pack up every belonging that he's acquired during the time that he's been in prison. Because Joseph has already spent years of his life imprisoned for a crime that he didn't commit. So he's not going to have to wait. He's not going to want to wait 1 second longer than he has to when the Pharaoh finally comes calling for him. But as we keep reading in Genesis chapter 40, we're going to realize that Joseph's wait isn't over yet. Because in Genesis 40, verse 23, we're told, but the chief wine steward didn't remember Joseph. He forgot all about him. So just when it feels like Joseph has some hope, that this nightmare he's been living in for decades, that it's finally coming to an end, he ends up having to wait even longer. In Genesis chapter 41, we're told that it takes 2 years before the wine steward remembers the promise that he made to Joseph. 2 years. That's 24 extra months that Joseph had to spend in prison. That's 140 extra weeks of waiting for the cupbearer to keep his promise. That's 730 days of wondering if he would ever get released from prison. That's 17,520 hours of Joseph waiting for God to do something, anything, to help him out. Now, we're the kind of people that don't have enough patience to lick our way to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop, right? So if we found ourselves in a position like the one that Joseph found himself in, all of us would have been at a point where we were ready to quit. We all would have been at a point where we were ready to throw our hands up and give up and resign ourselves to the situation that we found ourselves in. But not Joseph. In spite of all of his waiting, Joseph never gives up. And all the while, Joseph continues to cling to his faith, believing that God will set him free. He continues to trust that God is with him all along the way. I mean, did you notice what Joseph told his fellow prisoners when they came to him and told him that they were having troubles because they were having these weird dreams that they couldn't figure out? They couldn't understand what they meant. Joseph told them, don't all interpretations belong to God? He continued to believe in God through everything that he faced. And this is something that you and I need to learn if we want to be able to keep going when we reach a point where we're ready to give up. So before you give up, remember that while you're waiting, God is still working. Before you give up, remember that while you're waiting, God is still working. And this is something that as I look back over those 3 years that I spent waiting, from the time I graduated college to the time I finally was called to serve as a pastor in my first church, it's not that hard for me now to look back and see all the ways that God was working in my life during that time that I was waiting. Like, I can look back on my life and I can understand and I can see that God was using the classes that I was taking in seminary and the professors that I had to help me learn things that I needed to know if I was going to become a competent minister. During that time that I was waiting to be called to pastor a church, God was working inside of my life. He was opening up opportunities where I had the chance to visit and preach at dozens of different churches, filling the pulpit for their pastors as they were out of town on vacation or whatever else. And that allowed me to get a whole lot more comfortable with standing up and preaching pretty regularly on Sunday mornings. But the biggest way that I can look back and I can see that God was at work in my life while I was waiting to be called as a pastor, well, it involves my wife. Because while I was waiting for the opportunity to be called to pastor a church myself, the pastor in the church that I grew up in reached out and he called me. And he asked me if I would be available to come and fill the pulpit for him one Sunday morning while he was out on vacation. Now, if I was pastoring a church myself, there's no way it could have happened. I wouldn't have been available. I would have needed to be there to preach that Sunday morning. But I wasn't pastoring a church, and my schedule was completely clear. So I said, yes, I would love to come and fill the pulpit for you and preach for you. And you know who was sitting in the congregation that day? Ashley was. She had just finished up her freshman year at the University of Kentucky. She had gone back home where she was living with her mom and her stepdad. And her mom had recently started attending the church that I grew up in. So she brought Ashley along with her for the first time that Sunday morning. Now, if I had been called to pastor church right after I graduated college, like I thought God was going to do in my life, I never would have met my wife. So it's not hard for me to look back and see how God was working in my life, even while I was waiting for other things to happen. The same thing's true for you. No matter what situation you find yourself in right now, God is working in your life. Now, you may not be able to see it today. Chances are you can't see it today. But there will come a time when you can look back and you can see all the work that God was doing while you were waiting for something to take place in your life. Now, that may not make it any easier for you with the struggle that you're having today. It may not make the weight that you're experiencing right now that much more bearable. But when that day comes, when you can look back and you can see everything that God was doing in your life, you may realize that all the waiting was worth the work that God was doing. But if nothing else, being able to look back and see the way that God has worked in your life, it can give you the same confidence that Joseph had. That through all of the waiting, through everything that he had to endure, everything that he had to experience, Joseph knew that God was with him. And if God was with him through the valleys, God would bring him to the peaks. God would help him make it through whatever it was that he was facing. God will do the same thing for you. God will help you keep going day after day. God will help you keep finding a way to move forward. God doesn't give up on you. God doesn't abandon you. God doesn't quit. And God is at work in your life right now, whether you see it or not. Let's pray together. God, as we come to you in this word of prayer,
You are well aware how much none of us.
I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and if you've been blessed by the sermon, I want to invite you to come and join us for worship at Melbourne Heights. You can join us at 10:30 a.m. at 11003 Bluegrass Parkway, or you can join us online at mhbclouisville.com/live. We would love to have you come and worship with us.
We want what we want, and we want it right now. But God, that's not the way that you usually work. Usually you are at work in our lives while we are sitting and waiting for something else to happen. So God, it makes it hard for us to see everything that you're doing in our lives now. But God, help us all to realize that while we're waiting, you are still working. You are doing things in our lives right now that we will look back on and see as enormous blessings in our lives. Things that can continue to give us the hope that we need to keep going, to keep moving forward, to not quit, even when we reach those points where we want to, God. So open our eyes. Let us see the work that you're doing in our lives, that you're doing through us, that you're doing all around us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hey, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast. And I hope that this episode has shown you that even while you're waiting, that God is still working in your life. God is doing things right now that you may not realize, but someday you're going to be able to look back and see how he was at work. And because of that, you can have the confidence that you're going to be able to make it through whatever you're facing. You're going to be able to keep going even when you reach a point where you want to quit. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode, but I want to invite you to come back and join us when our next episode drops next week. As always, if you subscribe to our podcast, that episode will be sent straight to your favorite podcasting app, or you can come and worship with us live on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live. And don't forget to join us on social media as well. You can find us on Instagram or on Facebook by searching Melbourne Heights Baptist Church. Well, until next time, I hope that you have a great week. I will be praying for you, and we'll see you back here soon for another sermon podcast.